Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to our show today. I'm Cecile BeReal, and I am your host today, and we've got another wonderful person who's going to be talking today. Our topic is No One Can Whistle a Symphony. It takes a whole orchestra to play it. And I'm going to be asking our guest what that means at some point during this morning. Our guest today is Suzanne Mankowski, and she's Director of HR with Luna Grill Restaurants. Luna Grill Restaurants is a very successful organization, and there's 22 locations, 572 employees, and a corporate office. And I am so pleased to have Suzanne here today, and she's going to give us a lot of information. So welcome, Suzanne.
Thank you so much, Cecile. It's a pleasure to be talking with you today.
Well, we got lots of questions to answer and all for you to answer. So tell our listeners about Luna Grill, if you will. How did they start, and what has caused their incredible growth?
They opened up their first Luna Grill over in Del Sur, which is kind of the Carmel Valley area, back in 2004. And really how it started was they had two young children, and they wanted to find, there was no place to find fast food that was healthy, it was good for you, and it tasted good. So being the entrepreneurial spirits that they have, they said, well, let's open up a restaurant and make that kind of food. And almost immediately it became successful in the area. But they let it kind of grow. They had other businesses that they were invested in. But then the demand became so high in 2010, they opened up three more restaurants in the San Diego County area. And then from there, it's been about, gosh, I'd have to say maybe 3 to 4 openings every year thereafter. And this year in 2016, we'll have our biggest growth spurt ever. And in the process of opening about 16 restaurants by the end of this year. And we're in both Texas and Southern California right now.
And then as they open more locations, I assume that the number of employees is going to increase.
Absolutely. We will probably be looking at about close to 900 employees by the end of 2016.
We don't intend
to stop there.
No, I'm sure you're not. What is it that makes it so popular?
You know, I think as we hear around a lot of foodies and restaurant areas, people are really wanting to find a way to eat healthier. And there's so many moms and dads that are so busy, and they have to rely on bringing food home sometimes because maybe they don't have time to cook. So I think between the desire for healthy food just on a day-to-day basis, it also provides an avenue for a parent to bring home food to the family, and they can feel good about it. They can look at their child, and they can see that they're eating healthy. And although they may not have cooked it at home, it was like it was cooked at home because all these recipes come out of the founder's very own kitchen.
Wow. Now, with the various locations, now, do you go to those various locations? I know you're the director of human resources, and I'm sure you handle a lot of things, but do you go there to confirm what's going on, or how do you handle that?
I try to get close to my people, as I call them, as much as possible. With the growth, it does hinder that ability somewhat. I have recently hired a couple other individuals, so we're able to try to deploy ourselves more often. So we're staying connected with the people, even if in Texas. But even with that, knowing with our growth, probably one of the biggest concerns I've had is being able to stay connected to the team members. You know, not only us staying connected to them, but a way for them to stay connected to us, especially, like I said, with this growth plan. And most recently, we found an amazing platform through a Canadian company called C-Factor Vibe, and it's your typical HRIS system, ATS, payroll, performance management, etc. But it also has this amazing platform that encourages engagement and communication by having such things like a community that anybody could join and, you know, maybe talk about going hiking somewhere, developing a baseball team, or maybe even a foodies that some people want to do, you know, different recipe exchanging. So it's a way to try and get everybody to stay connected. Because I think another reason why we're so successful is we have an amazing culture. And it's from the top all the way down to the bottom. And I just want to make sure that we're always staying connected, whether they can go online and they can kind of have a direct talk with HR, they can go online and get profile information about every single person in the company, and we're going to continually look at ways to communicate, stay connected, and keep our team members engaged, whether they're in Texas or right here in San Diego.
And I know you have a leadership team, and that's active with your organization, and so share with our listeners what roles they play and how they interact with these employees.
Okay, well, I really look at it as having almost two levels of leadership. We really feel as though every single 572 team members have a leadership role, whether it's the cashier that's explaining our menu to the guests, you know, to taking that leading example about their passion about the food that they sell every day, all the way up to, of course, our CEO. But at every level, we have an expectation for a person to be a leader at some level. With that said, we also do have a more traditional leadership team, which is consists of the C-suite as well as the department heads. It's a relatively small group, but it's very interactive. We are very familiar with what's going on with our team members. We're always sharing information, brainstorming ideas. We try to reach out to the team members and get feedback from them so we can make sure that we have a pulse on what's going on. And then we just basically have it's an open communication forum. We want things so we know what's going on at each person's department or each person's level.
Wow. And then I would assume in each of the locations, there's also perhaps a supervisor, someone who is handling that leadership role?
Yes, absolutely. Our structure is we have, at the top of it, we have a district manager that may have anywhere from 5 to 8 restaurants that they oversee. And then under them, we have GMs, or what we like to call the restaurant mayor, per se. With that, the GM also has a restaurant manager that they kind of dual their role, kind of back each other up. And then we have a kitchen manager and an assistant kitchen manager. And then we have a few other different levels. We're continually building what we call our pipeline, because our goal is to be able to promote from within at least 80% of the time. So we're constantly building leaders. And that's why I said, really, we feel as though we have leadership at every level, because we're going to continually look to grow people within our very own company.
I think that's wonderful. I truly do. And I know you also have this whole 12 characteristics that the employees learn. Will you share that with our listeners?
I'm sorry, I lost you a little bit there. What was it?
I know that you have 12 characteristics that the employees learn. And if you could share that with our listeners, because so much of what you're saying, I think people who work for other companies and all that can learn the same things that you do with your organization.
Yes, our 12 characteristics. As I was telling Cecile the other day, we, of course, look for talented individuals that have that skill base. But really what we strive for is finding people that have the 12 characteristics that would match our culture. For example, probably one of my favorites is what we call infectiously enthusiastic. We look for people that are passionate, that smile, that I can't remember all of them, I hate to say it, but I have a little sticker on my computer to remind which of them are. We look for people that are going, they speak well, their communication skills are strong. We look for people that are fun. We look for people that love food. We look for people that, again, have that desire. And when I say desire, it means they want to learn. They want to get excited about what our food is all about. They want to be helpful to guests. We look for people that, when you go into one of our restaurants, you'll just automatically, I think, see the difference in what those 12 characteristics are. I'll be happy to share those later with Cecile, but I can't remember all 12 of them off the top of my head, I hate to say.
No, that's okay. But, you know, what I sense, and I haven't been to a Luna restaurant, so I guess you better encourage me and get me out there. But
I think I'm taking you to lunch.
Yes. I'll go along with that 100%. You know? It sounds like you've got a family environment where everyone can take part in it, being part of that family and serving the customers who come in. And I know I happened to look on your website, and I know there are some frequently asked questions that come from customers who have eaten at the various restaurants. How do you respond to what they're asking? Do you turn that over to each location, or just how is that handled?
We do deploy it in different ways. A lot of times it comes down to what the question is, what the comment is. Typically, if it's just someone, a generality about either a compliment or a concern about our food, it goes straight to our district manager, who then works with the applicable general manager to determine what it was that was good or not so good, or if there was something we needed to fix. And then it is our goal that if we need to reach out to them immediately, if at all possible, but if not, within 24 hours of each reach out. We also have different deployment. If it's something where somebody feels as though maybe they had gotten sick from our food, we take that very, very seriously. That's an immediate reaction. We dig into it. We talk to our vendors. We make a determination. And, of course, each and every time we will follow up with the guests and find out what happened or let them know, what the next step is. And then if, for example, unfortunately guests do have slip and falls in restaurants, sometimes there's a foreign object in their food, those a lot of the times will get deployed to my department because I also assist with the risk management side. But we really try to address each and every question, even if it's a compliment. We want to go back and say, thank you. Thank you for that compliment. And or if they have a suggestion, we'll get back to them. And, whether it's something that we can do right away or let them know that's something that we will respond to, we really want to be responsive to our guests because, of course, without them, there is no Luna Grill. So they're our number one priority.
And I'm glad that you do that because that's extremely important. And, no one wants someone to fall or not like something. And it sounds like your organization makes sure that that is accounted for. Before I move on, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say it surprises me how many times we get the response from the guests, "Oh, I'm so surprised you reached out to me." most other companies don't. And I thought that that was just such a, I just, it's that's foreign to me. I just can't imagine why people wouldn't reach back out to their guests or their customers or whoever they serve.
Absolutely. Before we move on, I'd like to ask you if you, if someone wants to contact you to talk about this after the show is done, and perhaps later on this week and all, how can they reach you? A phone number, a web address? Would you share that with them?
Absolutely. My email address is Suzanne, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, at Lunagrill, that is LUNAGRILL.com. And, of course, as Cecile had mentioned, we have a website, and that's www.lunagrill.com. And please, please feel free to reach out to me at any time, whether it's questions about human resources or our business, or if you just want to find out what's the best thing to eat on our menu.
Oh, then, hey, I think a lot of people should contact you for that. Now, this show title that you have fascinates me. And if, let me say it again, when I opened the show with, no one can whistle a symphony. It takes a whole orchestra to play it. What does that mean?
Well, I know for me, especially when I look at our environment and why that was selected, is kind of resonates about some of the stuff I've talked about already. When you look at a team of people, you have to see that there's so many different individuals, and each of those individuals have talents. Just like in an orchestra, everybody has that talented instrument that they're able to play. And when you put all of that talent together, or all of those instruments together, you then have an orchestra that can play beautiful music. But it takes that entire group of talented individuals to make it work. It can't be just the one person. And we have that throughout our entire company, whether it's at the office, at the restaurants, we really try to resonate that through the entire organization, that it's, it takes a team to be able to go where we need to go.
And obviously you're very successful at it.
So far, so good, knock on wood. But I'm really excited with what the future holds. We are looking at an extremely busy years to come, whether it's system improvements to be able to better serve our guests, just being able to open up different restaurants in new markets, which is always a little bit of a challenge. But we have an amazing marketing department that has done a spectacular job with our brand and having people recognize who Luna Grill is. So I'm really excited. We all say it's going to be a crazy ride, but it's going to be an awesome ride.
And you're going to be opening, as you mentioned earlier, about 16 more restaurants. And I know you've got things in California. I know you mentioned Texas. Where else are they now, and where will some of the others open up?
Well, some we haven't, other states, we haven't firmed any of those up. We're really focusing on making the current marks as successful as possible. But I think you're going to see us growing in the Orange County, Los Angeles area even more. We're opening up several in San Diego as well. We have one in Mira Mesa. We are opening in Temecula, Cerritos, East Vail. We have two coming up in the next couple of months in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and that's in Alliance and Richardson. We ultimately will even be up as far north as Santa Barbara, so that's really exciting. I think once we get a great understanding of the California market and the Dallas-Fort Worth market, that's when we're going to start looking at expanding within Texas, possibly looking at Colorado or Arizona. We do have a couple places where we're kind of checking out. We have an amazing VP of real estate that really knows how to find, you know, those diamond places that will bring us the type of guests that we like to attract. So it's really fun. I'm excited.
Well, with good reason. And it obviously you're able to hire employees and management and so on. Is that pretty easy when because Luna is so popular, are people come to you saying, I want to work here, give me a job, and they have the background that you need. Do you get that very often?
You know, there's a mixture. Sometimes probably our biggest challenge area is when we go up to a new market. So, for example, last month we opened up our first location within L.A. County up in La Cunada. And that was a bit of a challenge because the name hasn't been built up in that area quite as bit. Like if you go down to Orange County or here in San Diego, it's really exciting because now almost every single person I talk to, they've either heard of Luna or they have eaten at Luna. So that makes the recruitment process a lot easier because the brand recognition. And you're starting to get that strong reputation about having an amazing work environment. Because my ultimate goal is I want, whether you're just a college student working for the summer or you're one of our people that have worked up from a cashier to a district manager, that you look back and say, wow, that was one of the best jobs I've ever had. And you get that reputation building, the recruitment will get stronger and stronger, even when you're looking at a tight unemployment market. It's just getting that brand recognition, I think, will be what takes care of everything, whether it's recruitment, whether it's sales, whether it's expansion. It's truly getting the name out there, have that name recognition. We're going to really depend upon our marketing department and our brand ambassadors that when we open up in a new market to make sure everybody knows who Luna is, because I think that's your strongest power in any restaurant.
Sounds like it is. And also it sounds like, I know you have a team that works with you, because you have a lot of work based on all that you do. And I'm sure it's tough sometimes for you to stay focused and on track. Now, do these the other HR professionals work with you in your office and then they go out and handle a lot of the things? Because my question, and I've known you for a long time, Steph, how do you stay focused on all of this?
Well, I think most everybody in the workplace anymore is work very hard. They're handling multiple positions. Now, up to about January of this year, I was a department of one, and it was a bit of a challenge. Fortunately, I think HR people by nature are very good at multitasking because you have no choice otherwise.
Yes.
But I'm excited to build my team. We haven't been able to focus a whole lot on the functionality of the team because of the system integration process that we've been going through. But I do see us really working as a team. It's not me overseeing them. It's the four of us looking at how we're going to take care of our day and then communicating well. I think that's key in, especially being a person that was used to handling everything, still wanting to have a pulse, but letting them do what they need to do. It's going to come down to communication. They sometimes make fun of me because they call me the email queen. But quite frankly, when you say, how do I keep tracking of everything, keep focused, that's kind of like my diary. I use email in many ways, like my scheduler and my diary and my to-do list, because it enables me to go back and say, okay, yes, I sent that, got no reply. Okay, follow back up with them. And it truly has been an amazing tool for me. Some people have their tablets. Some people have, you know, they still like to do the old-fashioned scheduler. For me, when I really look at what has made me successful was using that email tool. Because there's also then, as us HR people like, we have a paper trail.
Yeah, I understand that. And we're almost out of time here, and I'm going to ask you kind of the last question is, in essence, I know Luna is building things, but where else is Luna today?
What was that? I'm sorry?
Where is Luna Restaurants today?
Let's see. Well, there are, 7 locations in what we call the Southern District of San Diego. And that would be, do you want me to name them all?
Sure.
Okay, let's see. Okay, this is a test, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well, of course, we have our flagship location, which is the Del Sur. Then our next one is Mission Valley over by IKEA. Then we have Carlsbad. Next was Hillcrest. Then Eastlake, Point Loma, Forest, Spectrum, Poway, Scripps Ranch. So let's see, Westfield. Trying to count the numbers here. Number 11. 11 was Poway. And then 12 was West Park. 13 is Rancho San Diego. 14 is Elisa Viejo. 15 is our first in Dallas-Fort Worth in Flower Mound. 16 is La Costa. 17 is Westfield, Carlsbad. 18 is Claremont area down here in San Diego. 19 was, let's see, Southlake. Okay, now this is where it gets, when I hit 20, that's when it starts getting fuzzy.
okay.
Let's see. We have another one, so that would be the third one in, I know it. It is Colleyville, Southlake. 21 was Dana Point. And that was one of our biggest openings ever. And then the most recent one, 22, is La Cañada, which is in the L.A. County area.
Right. And more to come.
Absolutely. I'll be excited. Please go to our website because we constantly update the website letting you know where we're going to be next.
Well, you know, this is wonderful. You've done a wonderful job. And for those of you who are listening, I know not all of you are in San Diego or even California or Texas. But just listening to what she's had to say and how things work, those are probably the same kind of characteristics and skills that you all, we all can be involved with in our own organization. Thank you so much, my friend. And by the way, I want to make sure everybody knows our leading lady next week will be Susan Bateman, founder and owner of Brand Awaken. And her topic's going to be the branding buzz. Better brand, better business. Thank you all so much for calling in today. And if you get an opportunity to call in again to listen to Susan Bateman, it'll be a great call for you. So have a very wonderfully blessed week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.